Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie, Sky and Telescope's executive editor, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see overhead in January. You don't need a telescope to enjoy the beautiful winter sky. Just bundle up very warmly. Don't forget your head and feet, and come along with me. Say the words early January, and I immediately think meteors, specifically the quadranted meteor shower, which peaks in the first week of each new year. These meteors get their name from Quadrans Mirales, an obsolete constellation near the handle of the Big Dipper. The meteors seem to radiate from that point in the sky. Usually we can count on the quadrantids to give us a brief but intense burst of meteors on the night of January 3rd. Strong moonlight isn't a problem this time around, so from a dark site without much light pollution, you can expect to see about one meteor per minute. Look as late as you can on the evening of the 3rd, or even better, in the wee hours of the morning of Friday, January 4th. The great thing about winter is that the sky can be incredibly clear, making the stars and planets seem all the more like dazzling gems. So let's turn the spotlight on the planet Mars. To find it, note where the sun set in the sky, then do a 180 so you're looking in the opposite direction, toward northeast. After twilight, you'll notice a dazzling star down near the horizon. That's no star, that's Mars. It was at opposition, that is, opposite the sun in the sky, back on Christmas Eve. A few days before that, it was closer to Earth than it'll be any time again until the year 2016. Each week, Mars will be a little higher in the sky as darkness falls. Can you detect a hint of warm color coming from its ruddy surface? Now, turn a bit to your right. You'll see the stars of Orion, the Hunter, striding up from the eastern horizon. Look in particular for a trio of bright stars in a vertical row. These mark Orion's belt, and there's nothing else like them anywhere in the sky. Look to the left of the belt, by about the width of your fist held at arm's length. That bright star is called Betelgeuse, and it marks the Hunter's shoulder. Maybe you've heard it called Betelgeuse, like that weird movie character. Use whatever works for you. Study Betelgeuse, or Betelgeuse, a bit, and maybe you'll notice that it's got a warm, almost peachy color. That's because this star is a red supergiant, a truly massive star that has swollen to tremendous size in its old age. How big is big? If Betelgeuse were the center of our solar system, then not only Earth, but even Mars would be orbiting inside the star. But Betelgeuse still looks like a pinpoint in the sky to us because it's very far away, about 400 light years. To the right of Orion's belt, again about a fist away, is another very bright star that marks the Hunter's knee. This star, called Rigel, shines with an intense blue-white light. Rigel is roughly twice as far away in space as Betelgeuse, yet it's a little brighter. Why so? It turns out that Rigel is one of the most prodigious stars in the known universe. It pumps out 40,000 times as much light as our own sun. And whereas Betelgeuse looks reddish because its surface is relatively cool, Rigel is literally white hot, about 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now let's hunt down a couple of star clusters. Shift your gaze upwards from Orion's belt by about two fists until you run into another bright beacon with a slightly orange cast. That's a red giant star called Aldebaran, and it marks the angry eye of Taurus the bull. Aldebaran also serves as the anchor for a loose, V-shaped cluster of stars called the Hyades. In early evening, the V is lying on its side, with its bottom pointing toward the right, and its top, the bull's horns, pointing to the left. Depending on the darkness of your sky, you might be able to pick out anywhere from just a few to as many as 20 stars in the Hyades. Curiously, Aldebaran itself doesn't officially belong to the group. It's just a bright star that happens to lie between us and the cluster. Keep looking higher up in the sky, by about the width of another fist, until you come to a little fuzzy spot that you can just cover with the tip of a finger. This is also a star cluster called the Pleiades. Another name for it is the Seven Sisters, or in Japanese, Subaru. You think I'm kidding, right? Well, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized group of stars. In Greek mythology, the Pleiades were the seven sisters of Atlas and Pleione. When Atlas angered some other gods, he was ordered to support the whole world on his shoulders as punishment. Devastated, the daughters all burst into tears, and to ease their sorrow, the head god, mighty Zeus, placed them together in the heavens. This cluster appears in Native American legends as well. One story tells of seven Indian maidens who climb a tree stump to escape from bears. Eventually, the Great Spirit rescues the maidens from their perch and places them in the sky. If you've got a small telescope or even binoculars, take a closer look at the Pleiades. You'll see that there are dozens of beautiful stars in this grouping, clumped together in the sky like fiery diamonds on black velvet. Long exposure photos show that the cluster is encased in a delicate blue nebula, though it's too faint to see by eye. Hunters, bulls, bears, and maidens, sorting all that out should keep you busy for a while anyway. If you want more sky watching tips, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. Next month, I'll preview the last total lunar eclipse you'll be able to see for nearly 3 years. Until then, I wish you clear skies.